Hello and thanks for joining us on Chicago Tonight, Black Voices. I'm Brandis Friedman. Here's what we're looking at.
Traitors to the country should not be allowed to work for the city of Chicago.
City council members vote on whether to ban participants in the January 6th attack from working city jobs.
We're going to pay for schools in this city to thrive.
The Chicago Teachers Union approves a contract deal, what it means for students and teachers. And black women are more likely to die from pregnancy-related complications than white women. Why and what's being done to address it? And now to some of today's top stories. A U.S. district court judge in D.C. says he finds probable cause to hold the Trump administration in contempt for violating his orders on deportation flights. But that judge stopped short of reasonable doubt. Judge James Boasberg ruled the administration is demonstrating a, quote, willful disregard by not following his mid-March orders to halt using the Alien Enemies Act to deport alleged Venezuelan gang members to El Salvador. The ruling comes as the administration continues to push its compliance with court orders it disagrees with. The judge has not determined a potential penalty and is giving the Department of Justice time to respond. The White House says it will challenge the ruling. Fed Chair Jerome Powell is warning that major uncertainty might be ahead amid new tariffs from the Trump administration.
The level of tariff increases announced so far is significantly larger than anticipated, and the same is likely to be true of the economic effects, which will include higher inflation and slower growth.
In an appearance before the Economic Club of Chicago today, Powell added that while the rate of inflation has slowed dramatically, consumers are still facing higher prices, which tariffs could increase. And despite the Trump administration's fight for the authority to fire members of independent agencies, Powell says he doesn't think that would apply to the Fed and that the central bank plans to remain above the political fray. 19 people incarcerated in Illinois prisons are claiming the Department of Corrections has systematically failed to provide adequate mental health treatment. Attorneys with the Uptown People's Law Center and Equip for Equality filed the class action lawsuit in federal court today on behalf of the nearly 13,000 people with mental illnesses being held in prisons across the state. The suit says about 44% of all people in IDOC custody are on the mental health caseload, and a third have a serious mental illness. Yet the department only has 67 full-time mental health positions out of the 175 positions budgeted. IDOC declined to comment, citing pending litigation. For more on the conditions that the lawsuit alleges, you can visit our website. And the Bulls are facing the heat tonight. Literally, they'll be taking on the Miami Heat in a win-or-go-home matchup as part of the NBA's play-in tournament. Four teams take part in the play-in tournament in each conference to battle it out for the last two seeds in the playoffs. If the Bulls win tonight, they'll take on the Atlanta Hawks on Friday for a chance to be the Eastern Conference's eight seed. Tip-off tonight is at 6:30. Good luck, Bulls fans. Up next, the latest on an effort to block January 6th rioters from working for the city.
Chicago Tonight, Black Voices, is made possible in part by the support of these donors.
Who took part in the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol and were then pardoned by President Donald Trump are now banned from working in city jobs after a vote today by the City Council. The lopsided 44-3 vote came after an emotional debate about the aftermath of the attack. Here are Alderman Raymond Lopez and Andre Vasquez.
Where is the line that you're willing to draw?
Domestic terrorism is probably the line.
WTTW News' Heather Sharone joins us now with more. Heather, why did the City Council decide to take this stand?
Well, almost immediately after President Donald Trump took office in January, Governor J.B. Pritzker issued an executive order banning those who were pardoned for their role in the January 6th Capitol attack from state employment. But Mayor Brandon Johnson did not follow suit, prompting the City Council to step in, and that culminated with today's vote.
And Heather, who were the three City Council members who voted against the ban?
Well, the alder people were all representatives of the far northwest side, Alderman Anthony Napolitano, Alderman Jim Gardner, and Alderman Nicholas Sposato, who spoke at length about his frustration with this ordinance, saying that it was inappropriate to, quote, ruin the lives of the people who merely entered the Capitol without permission. Of course, 5 police officers died as a result of the Capitol attack, and more than 137 were injured.
Heather, you also reported earlier this week that the city council was set to exhaust its annual $82 million budget to resolve lawsuits that allege police misconduct. Where does that stand?
It is official. Less than 4 months into the year, that entire $82 million annual budget has been exhausted, with the approval of a $32 million settlement for a St. Louis man who lost both of his legs as a result of being struck by a driver who was fleeing Chicago police, who should not have been chasing that car under departmental policy. Now, Alderman Gilbert Villegas was poised to use a parliamentary procedure to force public hearings on a new strategy to address the hundreds of lawsuits facing the city alleging police misconduct. He dropped that demand today after reaching an agreement with the Johnson administration for private briefings, where he said he will press them to develop a new strategy and, quote, be more honest with the city council about the cost of these lawsuits to taxpayers.
Okay. Heather Sharon at City Hall for us. Thank you. And you can read Heather's full story on our website. It's all at WTTW.com/news. The Chicago Teachers Union is one step closer to finalizing a deal with Chicago Public Schools after nearly a year of bargaining. 85% of its 30,000 members voted last week on a tentative agreement, and 97% of them approved it. The contract still needs approval from the Board of Education, which is set to vote on it next Thursday. But now, to break down that contract is CTU President Stacey Davis-Gates. Welcome back, Stacey. We've talked about this several times over the last year.
Yes, we have.
First off, you all have called this contract a turning point. How so?
Well, you know, if we're looking at the federal level of our government right now, you have Elon Musk and Donald Trump wreaking havoc on federal institutions with DOGE. We had that in Chicago already. It was called Renaissance 2010 with Arne Duncan. It was called School Reconstitution with Paul Vallis. It was called 50 School Closings with Rahm Emanuel. We're marking a different standard of where we're going to give kids opportunity. Elementary school kids get 30 minutes of recess. We put millions more dollars in the sports program. They'll have transportation, equipment, and uniforms. Sports that girls play will have parity with boys' sports. We're going to give kids more than what they've gotten before. That's the turning point.
So this is, as we've all mentioned several times, this is the first contract deal to be closed in 15 years without a strike vote. There was still some tension. We're going to come back to that in a bit. But Mayor Brandon Johnson, you know, he's a CTU member. You and many CTU members endorsed, campaigned, supported him during that election. How would you describe his role in bringing this contract to bear?
Well, I think it was the week before we settled that the mayor brought us to City Hall. We were summoned. And what we were able to do in that particular meeting was understand how close we were to settlement, understand that the issues that stood between us were negotiable. And from that point, we were able to speak on terms of settlement and negotiate that. And we got there, and thank God we did.
How do you think those previous strike votes and 2 strikes, one was a strike averted, how do you think all of those built up to the contract that you have today and where the CTU is today?
That's a great question. I think that they all built up to today. People are celebrating no strike, but what I would say is that it has been the organizing, especially with the communities that our schools are anchored in. I think of Diet High School. Not only did a strike help Diet High School, but there was a hunger strike for 34 days. So once those people like Jeanette Taylor, who's an alderwoman, Mayor Johnson, and board member G2 Brown, They helped save that school from closure, and then the Chicago Teachers Union in 2016 took it to the negotiating table. What we were able to secure through our community coalition was we were able to keep a school open. We were able to resource that school with more support, and now that school has an artist that's in residence. It has a state championship basketball team. It has more opportunity, and kids from across the city are looking at that school as an option.
So let's talk about what's in the contract. Raising teacher salaries by 4 to 5% each year, enforcing smaller class sizes, giving 10 extra minutes a day in prep time for elementary school teachers, doubles bilingual education staff, and provides 90 new librarian positions, among lots of other points that you all spent a lot of time negotiating. Why do you think it was difficult to get to all of this?
I think there were a lot of impediments. Obviously, you know, the much reported, you know, push and pull of the politics. But we also are doing new things in Chicago. We have a school board that is partially elected. They have a bigger voice and stake in how we land these deals. So having people like the board president, Sean Harding, members like G2 Brown, Karen Zakor, people who have an understanding of the granular level of both the movement and the school district, that helped us. But also it was the first time in 30 years that our union was able to bargain a contract with our full bargaining rights. So both sides needed to exercise a muscle where we exchange ideas across the table. The district had to learn that. The union had to learn that. So we got there, and I'm proud of it because this is an agreement that both sides can be proud of.
You have gotten a bit of criticism from within the ranks, a new caucus of members called the Real Caucus. They said in a statement, quote, "Many of us who voted to accept the contract were tired of the wait and lacked hope that our leadership had the tenacity to win more. There are wins here, but this is not transformative. We need CTU leadership with the integrity to be honest about the work that still needs to be done." They call the union fractured in that statement. What do you say to all of that?
Well, 85% of our members participated in our democracy, and 97% of those members say yes to the contract. That is a ridiculously high number, unprecedented in fact. 65 of our rank and file members bargained this contract. Every single governing body of our union approved this contract. I think our democracy is one that should be modeled in most institutions, and furthermore, I'm glad we are at a conclusion. The Department of Education is being dismantled as we speak. We need to not only build a force field around the Chicago public schools, we're going to have to get into the work now of pushing our local and our state government to build a Trump rainy day fund, because he's put our city and our school district in his crosshairs, and we're going to have to protect the investments that we have to make for our young people. And so we're going to push them to figure out how we push those who have a little more to do a little more to help us protect our democracy and our ability to teach the truth in CPS.
So on that subject, the district says that this is a $1.5 billion deal. That's what it's going to cost CPS over the life of the contract. CEO Pedro Martinez has said that the district has the money for the first year of the contract, and he has said that a couple of times during negotiations, but that we know the district faces budget issues every year. What do you say to people who are worried that the district is going to be in a bind when it's time to pay what it needs to pay in the coming years?
Well, Pedro said very clearly that he would not be an irresponsible party in this collective bargaining situation. He wrote op-eds about it, in fact. So we're confident that the district is in a better financial position. In fact, the third-party arbitrator who provided the fact-finding report said that the district was in a better position to fund this contract than they ever have been in years past. So those two things coupled together give us a lot of certainty. Also, the state of Illinois has to do more. We have one of the best funding formulas in the state, and it needs revenue. And that's not just Chicago. That's every school district across the state of Illinois. So while the Trump administration is He has his crosshairs on Chicago. He also has it on Illinois. It's going to behoove us in this moment to find out what coalition, alliance, and solidarity looks like. It's also going to ask those who have more to pay more in this moment so we can secure what we have in Illinois and in the city of Chicago to be a beacon in a world that is moving, you know, far too fast towards something very different.
20 seconds left. What's next for CTU?
Well, CTU is going to do what we always do. We're going to help our brothers at the firefighters get their contract. We rallied with them today. We are going to be with our coalition partners and our students tomorrow rallying for our earth because we need it. And we're going to implement this contract and knock on doors this summer to make sure that families know that we have their back.
CTU is going to CTU. Stacey Davis-Gates, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Up next, black maternal mortality has taken a downward turn. We explore why right after this.